It's been a half century since Petersburg's current library opened its doors on the second floor of the municipal building. Project supporters, like Friends of Petersburg Library President Sue Paulson, emphasize that library use has increased dramatically since 1960, and the community needs to replace the old cramped facility.
The services of the library were so different than what they are today. And so it is really time for us to move to the larger facility that's going to make it possible for the kind of programs and collections and library use that we are trying to produce in the space available. And we've got a wonderful plan that's been worked on for many years.
The standalone single-story library would be located just off Main Street on Haugen Drive at the current site of the city's Romead building, which would be torn down. At just under 10,000 square feet, the new building would allow the library's collection to grow by 20%. It would be similar in size to the 8,400-square-foot Haynes Library and significantly larger than the 2,700-square-foot space Petersburg has now. The entire project, from start to finish, is estimated to cost just under $6.8 million. The legislature has agreed to fund more than half that cost. Other funding has come in through an in-kind contribution of city land as well as private donations. The Rasmussen Foundation has agreed to kick in another $500,000 if Petersburg passes the bond measure. Library Board President Mary Ellen Anderson.
The Rasmussen Foundation makes it very clear in their grant proposal that they need to see that the community can step up and say, we support this project. And without that, say for instance we decided to go without the bond and try to wing it without, we would immediately lose the Rasmussen grant. So that's one thing to consider. So by passing the grant, it ensures one of our other grants and also places us in position for another grant from the NEH, the National Endowment for the Humanities.
City officials say the $1.5 million bond would complete the funding picture. The bond would be paid back over the course of 20 years through a property tax increase. More specifically, a property owner would pay roughly $44 more each year for every $100,000 that their house is assessed. So someone with a $200,000 home would pay $88 more a year, less if they qualify for a senior tax exemption. With no additional staff, the building's estimated to cost about $38,000 a year to operate, according to librarian Tara Alcock.
It includes electric, water, garbage and sewer, insurance, janitorial, and telecommunications. So what we did is we went out to, you know, to GCI and to the water utility and got projections about what costs would be like come 2013 when we would actually be in the building, and so that all totals up to just under $40,000. Our heating costs would be just over $1,000 a month, and that's based on a heating systems optimization analysis that we had done for the building this summer.
Library supporters have long advocated for more staff hours, but it would be up to the city council to decide whether to hire a new employee in the future. Alcock said it could cost $20,000 to $30,000 more for another staff member. Cost is the concern for opponents of bonding, like former city councilor John Haverlick. Haverlick expressed his support for libraries in general and the library project in particular, and he complimented Alcock and other library supporters for all their work in getting 80% of the needed funding. But he also pointed out the city's paying hundreds of thousands of dollars a year for other infrastructure, like the relatively new aquatic center and the assisted living facility. And even though the state covered the entire construction cost of the soon-to-be-completed fire hall, Haverlick noted that the city will still have to cover its operating costs.
How are we going to pay for all these things going down the road? And you know, that's my main concern. I mean, if the library was the first thing going out of all these projects, fantastic. But can we pay for all these things with a dwindling population? You know, even though the new facility would be a great way to go, and with the programs they're offering, it's phenomenal service to the community. But can we, you know, pay for all these? You know, and the last thing I saw in the paper was, you know, now we have the library's on track. We need a new public safety facility.
Haverlick didn't have an alternative to bonding for the rest of the library funds. Rather, he suggested trying to further lower the cost to match the money the city already has in hand. Library Board President Anderson emphasized the project had already been scaled back substantially over several years in multiple public meetings.
This is by no means an extravagant building. It is a basic square building, simple single-story wood frame building, a simple roof. The windows are residentially sized. It's not going to be some big grandiose thing that I think some people have in their minds that it's going to be.
All of the callers to KFSK's radio panel discussion were supporters of the bond measure. Sue Erickson emphasized that most of the library project funds are coming from other sources, and she likened that to getting a huge discount at the local grocery store.
We already have 77% of it paid for through grants, so all we have to do is raise the last 23%. So you reverse it back to my analogy. If Hammer Weekend said, hey, shoppers, 77% off all groceries at the store, I think people would be running out there and everything would be off the shelves. We've got the same opportunity here. We're getting a new facility for only 23% of what it would cost. So I feel like the time is now for a new library for Petersburg.
The polls are open from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. on Election Day, Tuesday, October 4th, in Petersburg's Aquatic Center lobby in Petersburg. I'm Matt Lichtenstein.